You ready to rock?
Yeah, man, let's do it. Steve, I don't think we're ready to rock.
No, clearly, we were not ready to rock. Oh, now we're ready to rock. Wait, hold on. Ted, we are now officially ready to rock.
Are you ready to rock?
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Mega Colors. The Mega Colors.
I mean, if there was ever equipment that had senioritis, the equipment is the equipment that we're using right now on the MegaCast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's another tough MegaCast. We only got audio in one ear.
Yeah. All right, now which microphone are you on? That's
three. Right?
All right, hold on.
I'm still talking.
All right, now, yeah, hold on. Let's see. Try talking.
I'm talking.
No. All right, there you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I got it. We're all set. Long story short, we're moving studios, and honestly, it's like nobody gives a flying F about the studios that are still here at the old building. But we're here trying to continue to do radio and also do podcasts in this old building. So if anything doesn't work, nobody cares.
Yeah, and this time I will say it's just us left over here, so I'm like, I can't be upset now.
No!
But like, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, we're literally in, we're looking over at another studio that doesn't even have a board in it or anything anymore.
Just a couple of empty wires and a couple computer monitors. This studio, here's the crazy part. For, I don't know, what, like a good year we've been using this studio, we've been trying to get all the microphones to work, and they never do.
Correct.
Today, on the last day that we're recording in this studio, all three microphones are working, but we're only getting audio in one headphone channel.
Yeah.
It's recording in both channels, but it's just throwing everyone. I'm getting super radio nerdy, but it's like it throws your equilibrium off a little bit when you can only hear out of one ear.
I'm in the weeds here with David S. Pumpkins. I can't focus.
So why don't we just jump right into it, man?
Yeah, dude.
Why don't we get our push-ups out of the way? If you are new to the MegaCast, we do push-ups as a way to get everything ready, to get our mind right, and boy, do we need it today. So it's to get the heart racing, the blood pumping, and the brain
functioning.
Today, it's all in honor of Chester Bennington. Not going to bring the room down by, you know, going too in-depth about the passing of Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. But
yeah,
I think we should pay tribute to him by listening to some of his music.
Correct.
All right, so let's get 10 to, I believe it's you and I's favorite song.
I was going to say, I love this song.
This is our jam. So let's get 10 to Linkin Park.
Here we go for the 100 time. Hand grenade pins in every line. Throw them up unless something's wrong. Going out of my feet. Two. Filthy mouth. Three. No excuse. Find four. A new place to hang this news. Five. Straight me up from a top of his loose. Got it tight, so I won't get loose. Two. Six. You can stop it, stop. Let myself out and go in the pants. Dug a trench out. Lay down there with a shovel up out of reach somewhere. Yeah, someone pull.
This song
is so good.
Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. Just to throw it away.
This is wrong.
You're like this either, and I think there's a lot of us that, and it's not even like, I don't think it's morbid. It's just that when you lose somebody, it reminds you of their music and you want to listen to it. So, I mean, I've been spending, when Cornell died, I spent a lot of time listening to Audioslave.
Even in Hawaii.
Yes, way too much, to the point where my wife was like, stop listening to his solo record. You look sad at the beach, and no one should be sad at the beach. But this last week, been listening to a lot of Linkin Park.
Linkin Park, yeah. And I mean, you're right. It is weird because you know the guy passed away.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. I shouldn't say it's awesome, but it just reminds you how much of the music you like.
Yep.
I always thought they got kind of a bad rap from some people, too.
Yeah, because you know what? They broke big during that new rock, you know, new rock, NU rock, like the rap metal.
Yeah.
Kind of a genre that kind of came and went rather quickly, and now it looks back on, like, if anyone enjoys new rock or rap rock, it's kind of like your guilty pleasure. But they persevered through all that because they had good songs.
Right. Chester could sing his ass off,
yep,
and Mike could actually rap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that was a huge thing. I mean, if anything, I would call them almost like a newer metal.
Yeah,
as a, you know,
that's
like,
what I meant, new metal, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, right, they did that crossover CD with Jay-Z and stuff. I mean, it was great stuff.
That's one of my favorite mashups, is that entire record.
Yeah.
Linkin Park and Jay-Z was like, it was just a perfect melt. I don't know, it was just a perfect mishmash.
Yeah.
Of styles, and it just worked so well together. Yeah, dude, I mean, like you said, it's not awesome, but in a way it is awesome that when somebody who's an artist leaves. I know this is kind of, you know, pass the bong, Ted. If we had one, I think I'd be ready to smoke it with the way that this studio is falling apart. But it is cool to know that when you leave this planet, that your art, who you are, still kind of continues to live on. Your feelings, it's that's got to be surreal if you're like a huge artist where millions of people have bought your music, consumed your songs, swear by your lyrics, and then when you're no longer here, that message is still there for everybody to consume.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it is.
It sucks that he's gone, but I mean, if anything, at least his music will continue to live, and I would imagine if he, you know, I don't know, I can't get inside the head of anybody, and you know, everyone's different, but I would imagine anybody who knows that their art will continue to live on has got to feel good knowing that.
Yeah, and I mean, right, he left an impact.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, while we're getting deep.
We are.
TED Talks.
See how deep we're
starring
getting.
B. Tech Smith.
Today's TED Talk, follow your path. You know, there's always going to be ups and downs and this and that. It's like going on a hike, right? But if you honestly believe that lake up top is worth the hike or worth the view, just stay on it.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And look, I'm guilty of it. I think everybody's guilty of it, you know, and it happens sometimes, right? Life happens. Mm-hmm. You know, that's most of what life is, right? It's the stuff in between the really high and low moments, right? So I'm just saying, like, you know, stay on your path. So there'll be some disappointments, some setbacks. There'll also be some advancements and some things that, you know, can help or hurt you hiking up this mountain. But just, you know, if you trust your path, you feel it, stay on it.
I always like your TED Talks because then I'm like, well, how do I relate that to myself? Because, you know, I'm a narcissist and I'm a self-absorbed a-hole. Or maybe not. I don't know.
TED Talks are for you.
Thank you. They are. That's why we created it. It's
all
not for
you.
Any of the listeners. It's just for me and how it impacts me. But it's funny you bring up follow your path. And even though there's going to be setbacks to continue to follow that path because, well, we got an email. And we have a lot of emails. And maybe throughout this podcast, we'll sprinkle some of them in.
All right,
This one comes from Drew. He says, Migs.
Email bay. Just sprinkle them in.
Drew says, Migs. Just wanted to sprinkle this in. And, of course, I'm doing now that hand gesture. I'm sprinkling that email in there, Ted.
You know what my new nickname is? Old Bay Bay.
God damn it. Drew says, Migs, I hope you don't take this poorly, as I mean no disrespect. But if you are hurting yourself, why wrestling? I'm around your age, I'm 39 years old, and the idea of picking up a hobby where you're risking serious injury sounds like an awful idea. I know you're a fan of wrestling, but there has to be a deeper reason.
Oh, wow.
Wow, like this is Dr. Drew, apparently. I didn't realize. I did.
You know what? Who was that from?
Drew.
Drew, I'll be dead honest with you. I never thought about it that way. I just thought about it more of Steve really likes wrestling and really wants to know more about it, so he's putting up with some of the pain. I don't know. Are you deep down trying to hurt yourself,
yes,
Steve?
Yes, I'm a masochist, Ted. Jesus. You didn't know that. I'm into BDSM, and I figured this is the best way to do it. And I like it when dudes are doing it to me. And so what better way than to do it in the squared circle, brother? You know, it's funny that he brings it up because in a roundabout way, there is a deeper reason that I didn't even anticipate. The initial reason was very on the surface. It was, I love wrestling,
yeah,
and I'm not getting any younger, and I've been afforded an opportunity to learn under some very brilliant minds, not only here locally, but then having opportunities to talk to people on a national level and pick their brains. So I'm like, yeah, why not? This sounds like something that I would look back on and regret, and then the more I did it, the more I fell in love with it, and then, oddly enough, a deeper reason did happen. And that deeper reason is, and this is my, I guess this would be a Steve talk.
All right.
Is, I think it's good, and I didn't realize this until I did it, I think it's good to do things that you suck at. Because in a weird way, I think sometimes when we get caught up in our everyday routine, and we become good at our everyday routine, if you do something every day, whatever it may be, you're going to be good at it. Or better than you were a year ago. I think it's good to kind of bring yourself down a notch and humble yourself from time to time. And honestly, that's what wrestling has become. It went from being, I just want to check it out. I want to experience taking bumps and running ropes and know what exactly happens behind the scenes. I kind of, you know, I love magic in a way. I would love to learn how to do magic. So in a way, wrestling is magic. And, you know, it's a way of suspending belief and making people believe that what you're doing in the ring is 100% painful and 100% this and whatever it may be. So yeah, that was the initial reason. But relatively quickly. What I've loved about it, it's humbled me every single time I'm in that ring. And that's why I'm talking about going your path, because hell, last wrestling practice, I landed on my face. My teeth don't feel right now. My teeth landed in another man's shoulder, and it hurt bad. And luckily, I didn't concuss myself or anything like that, but I saw a big flash of white. I mean, I landed hard on my head. And, you know, I had to sit out the rest of the practice, and I was mad because we were having a great practice. I was really enjoying it. I was feeling like I was getting the flow, and then all of a sudden, everything came to a screeching halt. And it was like, at that moment, all I wanted to do, in a way, I was like, I'm done with this. Why am I doing this to myself? And then as I watched the other people and the care that they had for me and my well-being, I've quickly created like this little family of people learning how to wrestle, and our coach as well. And then I realized, I don't want to quit. I want to conquer what just kicked my ass.
Yeah.
So that's why when you said follow your path, no matter what the setbacks may be. I mean, I've been facing a lot of setbacks with doing this wrestling thing. And I mean, a lot. I mean, we talked about some of the people in there. They're like late 20s, early 30s. And I looked at them all. And one of the guys, point blank, he's a guy that's done it for a while, learned under Booker T. I mean, the guy knows his stuff. Great guy, a guy by the name of Doug. And he asked everyone around the room, he's like, hey, well, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? We're just all BSing. And I'm like, look, I'm a little bit different than the rest of you. Like, you guys have hopes and dreams of doing this possibly as a job, or if not on a frequent basis where you can kind of travel the world or a country, and maybe one day the WWE will notice you. You all have that potential in you. I'm not there. I'm 42. I'm only doing it now. Really, I want to have one match. And that's my goal. And if I don't have it, no failure. I mean, I succeeded way more than I ever thought I would in this wrestling thing. But when push comes to shove, my hope is that I can get good enough that I can go in the ring and have people watch me have a match and then be done.
Two things. Number one, I think it's a fear thing. You know what I mean? Because it's like nobody else is around. Mm-hmm. It's just you in there, but you have that fear of having to throw your body forward or hit those ropes on a sore rib already.
Yep.
So I think that's a huge accomplishment in your own conquering that fear.
Yeah.
You know, and I think also it just makes you better for what you want to get into on the broadcasting side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now here's the downside. I think it's going to ruin a little bit of going to watch wrestling.
You know, it hasn't, but it's...
No.
Okay.
Not of the performers,
uh-huh.
Of listening to people behind you.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, you know, and I actually, in my upcoming, I do that podcast, Migs versus the World of Wrestling, and yeah. This Friday I'm going to put out my interview with Matt Cross, and I mentioned to him about taking classes and all that, and he really enjoyed hearing my story.
Yeah.
And then he brought up, he's like, I bet now you probably think other... Like, I can't remember how he said it, but something to the extent of... You realize rather quickly when you start taking wrestling classes that wrestling fans have no idea what they're talking about. And he didn't mean it as an insult to wrestling fans.
Right.
But they think running the ropes is easy. You know, bouncing off of that cable feels like a rubber band, or it feels like, you know, like you're hitting a pillow.
Yeah. And
or falling on the mat feels like you're falling on a mattress. And boy, oh boy, that is not the case. The smallest moves that we take for granted hurt like a mother effer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. But what I was saying, when I watch wrestling differently now, because now I'm watching it like a student. I'm like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's been kind of fun. I mean, I've been spent 30 years of my life watching wrestling one way for pure entertainment. It's kind of cool to have a whole new facet. Like, I'm going back watching old matches that I enjoy just as a fan. And now I'm like trying to, like, I'm deconstructing them. Like, oh, he did that. And the way he fed into that was by doing this. It's been really cool.
Besides even just having the one match, if you do have it, just think about the ability now, even what you've just learned so far.
Yeah.
That, like, when you're the ring announcer, like, it could be part of the script now that, like, somebody's going to hit you or something.
Yeah.
You got to take a bump or you know what I mean? Like, that would be awesome.
Oh, it'd be so great. Like, yeah, someone could throw me up, throw me against the ropes, and I would know how to run the ropes.
Yeah.
Or somebody could just punch me in the head and I can take that bump.
Yeah.
Or body slam me. Now, suplex, that's where I'm hurting myself. So I'm not yet ready for a suplex.
Are you suplexing people or people are suplexing you?
People are suplexing me, and I'm having a very difficult time.
I mean, it's so weird to talk about this stuff, but I'm just seeing you getting suplexed. I'm all of a sudden, I'm with Drew. Steve, why are we doing this?
I don't know, Ted.
Easy, fella.
I don't know. I might have to finally just be like, look, I'll do everything but suplexes. But again, that is a move that looks really freaking easy. And you know what? The odd thing is, for most people in my wrestling classes, they pick it up rather quickly. It's a hard move, but they pick it up.
How do you land?
I don't know yet. I land on my head, Ted.
I was
That's
saying,
not necessarily the right way to do it.
Are you sure you're not concussed right now? I did not realize you were getting thrown around the ring like a rag doll.
Yes.
But, all right, you know what? I haven't asked you this. What do you wear when you're practicing wrestling?
I wear Under Armour tights.
All right.
But not just that. Like, I'm not dressing like I'm a wrestler. Like, that would be really weird because I have a massive muffin top if I was going to be doing that. Like, that would look really uncomfortable.
You know what? And you're right. I don't know why I thought you'd be dressed as a wrestler.
What, you think I'm wearing, like, a mask and, like, some, like tasseled armbands and a championship belt?
I mean, look, in an ideal world, you're just wearing a singlet.
Right now, what I'm wearing, I wear the Under Armour pants, and then I'll wear just regular athletic shorts over them, knee pads, wrestling shoes, not like the ones that you see, like wrestling boots, like amateur wrestling shoes, like the
yeah,
ones
yeah, for the ring. That's what I use for boxing too.
Yeah, and even dude, some of the pro wrestlers, if you watch, a lot of them are wearing that with they look like shin pads. And they pull up over your wrestling
shoes. Yeah, so it looks like they're wearing boots.
Right, but they're not. So some of the wrestlers that are in the WWE, which is really the next step for me, as soon as I figure out how to do a suplex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, can I be like your manager, dude?
Yes.
Like, what's his name?
Like Bobby the Brain Heenan?
I was thinking more of...
Paul Heyman. My advocate. You're my advocate.
My name is Ted Smith.
That's right.
I'm an advocate for Steve Miggs.
And then at some point you have to say,
size does matter, bitch.
Like Big Papa Pump. Ted, when we get back, you know what?
By the way, speaking of wrestling, real quick, I still don't know where I'm going to wear I'm a Dick Flip Guy t-shirt that I bought.
You bought Flip Gordon's t-shirt? Oh, no, you bought Joey Ryan. Oh, my God.
I look at it all the time. Like, why do I own a shirt that says I'm a Dick Flip Guy?
You have to wear it one night somewhere, and I'll wear my King of Thong style shirt that's for Eddie Van Glam.
All right.
I should get a King of Dong style one like Joey Ryan.
Yeah.
And those two are either really close or they're big fans of professional wrestling. Yeah, where are you going to wear I'm a Dick Flip Guy?
I don't know, but that night I was drunk and I was excited. I was like, Joey, I need this shirt. It just folded sitting in my closet. I'm just like, where am I going to wear this shirt? Unless it's a wrestling event, I just look like, does your shirt say Dick Flip? I'm like, yeah. And it says that I'm a fan of it.
Yes, I'm a guy who likes to flip it. But honestly, when sitting for a long period of time, who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but I reiterate, where am I going to wear this shirt?
We'll just have to hope that Joey Ryan comes back to town relatively soon.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, when we get back, you know what? Why don't we do, bro, I came across a story about the worst duets of all time.
All right.
And they came up with, I have the top three. The number one comes nowhere near as awful as the number two. The number two world's worst duet of all time, according to this list, is so bad, and yet I'm shocked that it didn't end racism.
Huh.
And when we get back, you will hear that song.
All right.
Don't go anywhere. You belong here with Ted and Steve. The Megacast will be back.
Portion of summer brought to you by Walking Barefoot. You've been wearing your tennis shoes or flip-flops all summer, but you decided to go check the mailbox on the corner. No sandals, no shoes, just your under-calloused, sensitive, tender bare feet walking across the scorching hot black asphalt. And don't forget about the occasional small pebble that sinks into the ball of your foot and shoots pain up your leg like a... Walking barefoot in the summer, because you still think you're 15, dork face.
I might have 99 problems, but neither Ted or Steve are one. The Megacast is back. 99 problems.
but a bitch ain't one. If you have a girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
Everything you say to me.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
That is still a song that if you're feeling any kind of aggression, and you put that on, it will elevate it to like 100% more.
Yeah.
And that's one of the mashups between Jay-Z and Linkin Park. Again, we're playing all of the bumper music, our push-ups, all in tribute of Chester Bennington, who unfortunately is no longer with us, the lead singer of Linkin Park, which is just awful news. But that's a good duet.
What was that CD called? Hybrid Theory?
Original where One Step Closer was on Hybrid Theory.
All right.
That was on Collision Course, which is the Jay-Z. And the Dirt Off Your Shoulders mashup is my favorite. There's a whole bunch of good ones. If you've never heard it, even if you're not a rap fan, I think you'll really enjoy it because Jay-Z is perfect for a mashup with a rock group. Like his style 100%. Of rapping just works really well with that. But that's a good duet. If there was going to be a duet, hearing Chester and Jay-Z going back and forth, I'm 100% on board with. Well, this one website, actually it was YouTube, some guy put together a list of the 10 worst duets of all time. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to give you an example, the number one worst duet of all time, I never even realized was a song. But apparently Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton once did a duet together.
I think I've heard this before.
Was this like on some kind of a movie? Weren't they in a movie to not Stop or My Mom Will Shoot or something like that?
But that's Estelle Getty.
I feel bad comparing Dolly Parton to Estelle Getty.
Yeah, Dolly Parton's much hotter.
Yeah, I mean, mama. Well, here's the song, and maybe this will trigger your memory. It's called Sweet Lovin' Friends.
Well, you're all I can handle, and that's saying a lot.
Well, you got the handle that sure hits the spot.
You've got just what it takes to take what I got, and we're just sweet loving friends.
Now, oddly enough, like, it's terrible, don't get me wrong, but Stallone doesn't sound bad.
No, he doesn't. Dolly Parton, though, like, I feel like she has a few duets like that, like, that are just like, I don't know, that sounds like a very lovely song. We're like, what? We're just sweet loving friends. Like, well, what does that mean? Are you guys banging?
Just sweet loving.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe I was wrong. He sounds terrible.
That's when we always be. Just be.
I don't know, man. That just seems weird. Let's make a duet together about how great friends we are.
But number two, dude, yeah, you're right. Like, Ted and I really are good friends. We're not going to, we should put out a rap album and finally put out our mixtape. And one of the songs is just about how much we enjoy hanging out with each other.
Which is fine, because it's me and you. I'm just saying.
But
like,
no, it's called Sweet Lovin' Friends.
We even sampled that song.
Sweet. Of course it ends.
Yeah, of course it fades out. The number two, maybe you remember this song. I swear to God, I must have been living under a rock a few years ago. And completely maybe blacked out this song out of my memory. I don't know.
You said it ended racism.
It should have.
Can I take some guesses?
Yes.
Tim McGraw and Nelly?
No. That's a great guess.
All right.
And that's not an awful duet.
I guess.
Okay, maybe it's not good. But compared to this hip-hop country mashup, that is a Grammy Award-winning song.
Hip-hop and country.
Do you remember the song Accidental Racist?
Accidental Racist?
Yes.
Jesus, no. I mean, I...
It features Brad Paisley and LL Cool J.
Ooh.
Now, to give you an idea, before we... you know what? Maybe we should listen to the song before we have LL and Brad Paisley talk about why they did the song.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think their heart was in the right place. And we might have to skip past, like, the first verse because it's really come... The second verse is where it gets... It's like as if like they've decided, you know what? I'm a white guy. You're a black guy. You're going to represent your entire culture. I'm going to represent my entire culture. And we're going to end this Cold War.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, did they. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Feeling it, right?
Yeah, Brad.
to sing. He just wants you to feel this moment. You know, we're about to end racism.
Let me take the guitar for a walk.
You can wait as I walk this guitar.
Then we'll end racism.
To the man that waited on me at the Starbucks down on Main, I hope you understand.
So I'm assuming that the guy
is
that...
Is this just going to be about him doing something racist? And he's trying to say, I hope you understand this was accidentally racism?
You pretty much nailed the song's premise within the first line of the song.
Right. It sounds like he did something racist at Starbucks and now...
Well, sometimes it's not necessarily you did something racist, but maybe you're wearing something that could be construed as being racist.
Well, if it's Confederate flag, it is racist.
Or a white hood on your head. I mean, I don't know. It could be one or the other. We don't know yet, but all we know right now is he showed up to a Starbucks and there's a black dude working there, I guess.
And he hopes he understands. And okay. He turned to understand. It's like a 4-second word.
And here we go.
When I put on that t-shirt, the only thing I meant to say is I'm a Skinner fan.
He's a Skinner fan,
man. I didn't know he was the Stars and Bars. That
he's,
he was
he's just a fan of Skinner. Turn it up.
The red flag on my chest somehow is like the elephant in the corner of the south.
Time out.
We're never going to get through this song.
I'm just sorry. Like, okay, Brad, but... that is not an elephant in the room. It's the battle flag for the Confederacy that were treasonous bastards that wanted to keep slavery around. This isn't an elephant. Oh, my bad. Is this weird?
Can I get a latte?
Right.
Of course, white chocolate latte. It's accidental, Ted.
Vanilla bean, frappuccino.
And I just walked him right in the room. Just a proud rebel son with an old can of worms. Looking like I got a lot to learn. But from my point of view.
All right, one more timeout.
Oh, no, we'll take as many timeouts as necessary.
And but Brad Pease,
my mind was blown when I heard this song this morning, man.
He's from West Virginia. Do you know how West Virginia became a state?
No, educate us, Ted.
They seceded from Virginia. Because even as we make fun of West Virginia for being dumb and stuff, during the Civil War, they said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You guys
we're
are
not down
crazy
with the slavery thing. We went out of Virginia. That's how West Virginia, he's from West Virginia.
And you've already, you've foreshadowed another moment in this song, and that is they do address slavery. Dude, the song is insane. Like, not only is it insane that he wrote this song, that he convinced LL Cool J to be on board with it, and he convinced every single person behind the scenes, somebody had to say, guys, not sure about this one. And he's like, F it, put it on the album. We're going to change things.
We're going to change the world, man.
I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland, trying to understand what it's like now. But not everything we've done, and it ain't like you and me can rewrite history.
We can rewrite
our
history.
Generation didn't start this nation. We're still picking up the pieces, walking on eggshells, fighting over yesterday.
You know, I mean, I'm not 100% opposed to this chorus. Like, it's... I can understand the sentiment. Like, yes, I think a lot of people walk on eggshells, and it would probably be a lot easier if people just talk things out. But I don't know if you should be showing up with a Skinner shirt that's the Confederate flag and then be like, I don't get it.
I hear you. I just think, sorry.
I'm trying to help.
I know.
I'm trying to help.
But
bring...
it's like he made a song going, oh, I just dumb. I don't understand. Well, like, maybe don't wear the goddamn Confederate flag. And sorry, quick history lesson. I've said it 100 times. The Confederate flag, the stars and bars, is the battle flag. It was never the flag of the Confederacy. It was only used during battle and only comes to prominence in during the 30s and 40s with the height and rise of the Ku Klux Klan to intimidate black people. So the whole idea that I'm just a proud country boy, I'm just wearing my... You're like, no, it's racist.
All right, we're going to jump ahead a little bit because I want to get to...
What is LL saying,
that's
man?
That's right. I want to get to LL's part.
All right.
I've been just like you. I'm more than what you see. I'm proud.
guys go ahead. History, I caught somewhere between Southern pride. He's caught somewhere between Southern pride and Southern blame. Now here it comes. You hear the scratching?
Yeah.
That means LL's about to walk in.
Dear Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. Just because my pants are sagging doesn't mean I'm up to no good. You should try to get to know me. I really wish you would. Now my chains are gold, but I'm still misunderstood. I wasn't there when Sherman's march turned the South into firewood. I want you to get paid, but be a slave, I never could. Feel like a newfangled jangle dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate and clear the air. But I see that red flag and I think you wish I wasn't here.
Okay, now.
All right. I'm all right. I mean, I get, I guess I can
fathom. Cheesy as F. It's cheesy as F. Right.
I don't know why LL has to apologize to a white guy, though, wearing the Confederate flag. I mean, like, I misjudged you. LL, I think it's okay that you judge the Confederate flag wearing.
Look, LL just wants to have a beer.
Yeah, what do you think? We all drink beer? I love beer, but not that we all drink it, LL.
Here comes the best part. This is why it's the world's worst duet of all time. So now he's busting into the chorus, and LL is going to sprinkle a little salt bay,
sprinkle
a little hip-hop bay,
a little rap bay,
a little rap bay on the country singles. I mean,
he sings the chorus, he's going to throw in some rap.
Yes.
All right.
And it sounds like as if LL Cool J is not even listening to the music, and they're just like, just say something hip-hoppy. It's completely ridiculous. If you don't judge my do-rag, I won't judge your red flag.
Oh, my bad. Racism's over. LL's giving the South a pass.
Yes. It gets better. It's like this is the best one. I'm proud
of where if you don't judge my gold chains, not everything we've done, I'll forget the iron chains. It ain't
like... Damn! Wow!
How do we not know about this song? It came out years ago.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best we didn't.
Look, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being prideful if you're from the South. I love the South. I think it's a beautiful place. It has a bad history with slavery, but there's a lot of history down there in this and that. I think you could be prideful you're from Georgia, any of those places. But it seems like he specifically, like, we're trying to make it like, it's okay that I'm wearing this shirt, right? Is that what this whole song's about?
He wants to wear his Lynyrd Skynyrd shirt, man.
Like, I feel like Brad Paisley legit had this awkward encounter and then made a whole song to make himself feel better.
And called his friend LL Cool J, who's like, you know what? I want to wear do-rags. So if we can make this work, we're down.
Yeah.
And it continues. Unique and rewrite
history. Can't rewrite history, baby. Oh, Dixieland. The relationship between the Mason Dixon needs some fixing.
Does it not sound like he's not listening to the song? Like, it just seems like this, like LL just like, they recorded him on the phone and they just kind of sprinkle it in whenever they want.
He's just getting the song in one ear.
He is. He's probably having an issue with his headphones, too. Hope you understand
what this is all about. Quite frankly, I'm a black Yankee, but I've been thinking about this lately.
I'm a son of the new South.
The past is the past, you feel me?
And I just want.
Bygones be bygones.
All that's left is Southern pride.
R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. But I gotta thank Abraham Lincoln for freeing me. You know what I mean? It's real.
R.I.P. Robert E. Lee?
It's truth.
Truth. So many incredible moments in that song.
What else made this list? Do you have the full list? I'm like,
I'm number three. It's Hillary and Haley Duff singing "Our Lips Are Sealed." There's a weapon which we must use in our defense. Silence. Yeah, that's more offensive than the other one.
Yeah.
Dude, how about my buddy, his son, who's a buddy of mine who plays hockey? He played for the Tri-City Americans, and hopefully he'll eventually get drafted by someone in the NHL. He's still pretty, he's like 17 or 18. When he was, I think, 14, he got sent to play for an LA select team.
Right.
And when you're younger and you get sent like with the T-Birds or the Everett Silvertips or even younger than that, you get sent outside of your own hometown, then you have a billet family, a family that hosts you.
Yeah,
so that
course.
You can. So at the time, Hillary Duff was, she was married to...
The Kings player. What's his name?
I can't remember the guy. Great hockey player, but not Mike Fisher. I'll probably remember in the middle of my
the
drive
home.
The
guy that got busted in Vegas with all the coke.
Okay, I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was married or with him at the time, and he was the host billet parent for my buddy Evan.
Nice.
So his billet mom was Hillary Duff.
How hot was she in person?
Oh, he said phenomenal.
Yeah.
And also, that made him rather popular with the other boys on the team.
I can imagine.
Like, who wouldn't want to, like, where are we going afterwards for lunch? Let's go to Evan's parents' house, or Evan's billet parents' house. Let's go hang out with a former NHL player, which is cool in itself. And, oh, Hillary Duff is going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that must have been awesome. So, I don't know if you were curious, though, why exactly Brad and LL decided to do that song.
Oh, that...
Not the Our Lips Are Sealed cover.
All right.
Here we go.
I'm not really sure we were going to find any answers, but it was the idea that we would ask the question.
Martin Luther King had a very interesting quote. He said, "Darkness doesn't drive out darkness. Only light can. Hate doesn't drive out hate. Only love can."
Right.
So what we're talking about on this song is forgiveness and compassion.
Look, I know their heart was in the right place.
Exactly. But boy, did it seem to implode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was reading, like, if you ever have a chance, look it up on YouTube. And boy, oh boy, the YouTube commenters are having a field day with it.
I can imagine.
I just don't know, where were we when this song came out? Why was it not on our radar?
I don't know.
Me neither. All right. Well,
all right.
Classic moment with LL Cool J and Brad Paisley.
Yeah. Let's get some Linkin Park.
All right. Let's do some Linkin Park. When we come back, Ted, I want to find out how, if you have the potential to become corporate Ted.
All right.
I have a test for you.
All right, cool.
And we'll see if you'll succeed or fail as a corporate man. When I have a feeling you might fail.
You got to ask yourself, is success being a corporate man?
This is a deep podcast, brah.
Yeah, dude.
The Megacast will be back.
You've done good by listening to Ted and Steve. The Megacast will be back.
Now that you've ordered the perfect personalized pillow online, you need the perfect pillow that covers your pillow. Introducing My Sham. It's the decorative pillow that sits on top of your pillow all day, and then you throw it on the floor when you go to bed at night. My Sham has a patented fill that maintains its shape, which isn't hard for it to do because a sham really doesn't do anything. That's why they call it a sham. Someone in the past said, "How can we make this bedding set really expensive and over the top?" That's when they said, "Pillows aren't enough. Let's make a pillow that matches the comforter that never is used as a pillow." Plus, My Sham comes with a lifetime warranty because you never use it for anything. To order My Sham and get two for the price of one, enter What a Sham at MySham.com. That's MySham.com, enter code What a Sham. And coming soon, My Duvet Cover. Whatever the hell that is.
Feeling numb? I have the answer for you. And it's Ted and Steve. The Megacast is back.
Much.
Ted, we got an email, and I don't know if you've heard this. This has been like going on for a bit. Before we get to the whether or not you're a corporate man, a sellout, have you seen the new trend with asking Siri a question, and it's to ask her, I see a silhouette. I see a little silhouette of a man. Have you heard the response that she gives?
Does she finish off the song?
Oh, and it's pretty awesome.
No kidding.
Here. I see a silhouette of a man.
I don't know what you mean by I see a silhouette of a man.
Oh, you bitch.
How about a web search for it?
Oh, I did it wrong. You got a little aggressive.
You bitch. The hell with you, Siri.
Here's what I found on the web for yellow aggressive.
All right, here we try it again. I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the Fandango, Thunderbolt and Lightning, very, very frightening me, Galileo, 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 Galileo Figaro Magnifico, I'm just a poor assistant, nobody loves me, it's just a poor assistant from a poor family, spirit its life from this monstrosity, easy come, easy go, will you let me go, Bismillah, no, we will not let you go, let it go, Bismillah, we will not let you go, let it go, Bismillah. We will not let you go. Let me go. We'll not let you go. Let me go. Never, never let you go. Never let me go. Oh, no, 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 no.
Damn.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Nice job here. Nice job, Siri. Sorry I called you a bitch.
Which one?
I'm a little hungry.
Why is she asking me if I want to call Ralphie May?
Call him.
Turn it off.
Are you FaceTiming him?
Yeah, that's all we need. All of a sudden, I start calling him. And Robbie's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Sorry, dude. Wasn't meaning to call you.
Just trying to talk to Siri.
Just calling Siri a bitch.
Why did you call me a bitch?
All right, Ted. We got a big game to play.
All right. So this is a quiz to see if I am a corporate person?
Well, it's a new survey that was put together by some guy that works for that website Glassdoor. And it's, like I think, a job recruiting or a job finding website. And they wanted to find out the jargon that infuriates employees the most. So they came up with the corporate workplace jargon that employees hate the most.
All right.
So I've got the list of the 12 words or phrases that employees hate the most. But I thought, let's see how corporate Ted is to see if you know what those words mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'll throw one out there. Like, I'll just, for example, touch base. That's an easy one.
Meaning, yeah, it's like a corporate way of saying, like, let's have, like, a meeting.
Yeah, let's talk later.
Yeah.
Let's touch base. And yeah, it's like, why don't we just say, let's meet later? We got to be, let's touch
people
base.
Do say that a lot.
So, of course, if we're going to play a game, we have to have the proper game show music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If anyone remembers our 4th of July spectacular of firework or sex toy, this is now our official game show music. All right, Ted. Yeah. Let's see how corporate you are.
All right.
I like how we both start dancing again.
Can't help it.
It's the best song ever. All right, Ted. Blue sky thinking. What do you think that means in the corporate world?
I don't know that one. Blue sky thinking. I don't know. Like, any idea is fine. Anything under the blue sky.
You know, the reverse. It's creative thinking not grounded in reality. So I guess you know, you're right.
I don't even know what that means. Creative thinking not grounded in reality.
So you have like we could be like, you know what, for the megacast, we should have a party on a boat cruise.
Oh, I see.
And everyone gets to go on it for free. And then we run it by Hair Club and he's like, guys, I know your podcast does well. You have a lot of listeners. We can't justify renting out a boat cruise so that you can have a party with all of your podcast listeners that probably won't fill up the entire boat cruise.
Yeah.
Although that would be pretty awesome.
That'd be super awesome.
We should. Here we go. Blue sky thinking.
Blue sky thinking.
I'm thinking it now. That would be awesome. The Dude. Mega cruise.
Well, I still got to do the men's room, but let's touch base on this afterward.
Okay. All right. So you got one. I don't know. You kind of got it right. It's a wash.
All right.
All right. So you're still not corporate. We're on a journey.
We're on a journey?
Yes.
I was like, where are we going, dude?
You know, blue sky thinking, and we're going to touch base about this journey.
That sounds like a corporate way of being like, I know you're not happy right now, but we're on a journey, so we'll, I don't know, we're going to get there?
It means that the team or the project has not yet reached its mission or objective.
All right.
Okay. I'd say you got that one wrong.
All right, that's fair.
All right. Yeah. Ted's wrong. Game changer. This one you got to have.
Yeah, I don't. It just sounds like a term for an employee they decide is dynamic or doing something crazy, or they're a game changer. Like, they, I don't know. I don't know how to describe that term other than they're a game changer. right? Like, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
It says a product idea or process that represents a significant shift in thinking or way of doing things.
Yeah, like the Big Mac was a game changer.
Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would 100% agree with that.
You know, it had two different names before they called it the Big Mac?
What did they call it?
I forget.
Thanks.
But it had two names. And then some dude came up with a name to call it the Big Mac on the way into a meeting.
No, like, F it. Let's just go with the Big Mac.
Right. But he was like the assistant. And then it was like 15 years later, finally, McDonald's was like, all right, credit to that assistant. He did kind of give us the name. And of course, the guy he gave it to went in and was like, here's my idea.
And you know that assistant, I would hope that they work their way up some kind of corporate chain, wherever it may be, probably not McDonald's after that incident, but had a great, successful career.
Yeah.
But more often than not, I feel like that person probably did not live a very comfortable life.
No.
And lived the rest of their life cringing every time somebody talked about a Big Mac.
He had to have.
Oh. I don't know if I could live a life where I had negative feelings about a Big Mac.
I mean, I think eventually I could put
or
it.
A Mig Mac.
A Migs Mac.
Oh, that's blue sky thinking.
That
but
is.
We should have McDonald's rename the burger the Migs Mac.
Dude, have you had McDonald's delivered yet?
No, is that working with Uber Eats?
Yes.
Is it awesome?
It is. I felt so guilty about it, but I did it one Friday night. It was awesome, Steve.
Have you heard the latest with Lyft?
Yeah, and Taco Bell.
Taco mode.
It's because of that.
Oh, 100% has
Uber,
to be.
Uber Eats is in bed with McDonald's, but now like other companies like, we got to get some munchy food too.
Gosh, that is such a brilliant idea. And I love the fact that like they're taking you home and it's like, do you want taco mode? Hell yeah, I want taco mode. Either mode or mood. Take me to Taco Bell. Take me to Little Darlings. Just give me some tacos before I go home.
I mean, in the Northwest, could we have a Taco Time mode?
You would think. Or Taco Del Mar mode.
Taco Del Mar's, I don't feel like, are open that late.
No. They're typically closing like at normal times.
But I still say Taco Time and Taco Bell, two different urges. I love both of them.
Yep.
But there's certain times, like, you want Taco Time, and then there's times where it's like, it's a little late. It's like, I want Taco Bell.
Well, one's an escort. The other's a hooker.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even need to answer any more questions. I think based on our conversation, neither one of us could ever be corporate versions of ourselves.
No, I mean, right? Jesus Christ. I don't think we were talking about getting food delivered, and then you compared them to escorts and hook it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking nailed it, dude. All right. I got a funny escort story.
All right. Well, let's just let this music end. We've already determined that you are not corporate Ted.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would ever.
I mean, it's some no-brainer thought shower, meaning a meeting to share ideas without considering practical limitations.
See, thought shower to me would have been a shower I had in the thought. A thought I had in the shower.
And I was tracking.
Yeah.
I totally knew what you meant. Like,
I
had
some of my best ideas in the shower.
I love that. I'm not a big Reddit guy, but I do like the shower thoughts subreddit.
I will say, though, it's a weird way to open to a conversation. Like, hey, Steve, man, I thought about you in the shower today.
Right.
Like, to me, that means here comes a great idea. To a lot of people, they just picture me naked in the shower thinking about them now.
Right, because, you know, we've been conditioned that, like, especially with opposite sex or if you're into same sex, it could also apply. But if you are talking to somebody that there's an attraction, you said, hey, I had a dream about you. More often than not, they think that you're going down a road of sexual. Like, of course, you had a dream. What kind of naughty dream did you have? I mean, I've been guilty of it back in my single days. That was always the icebreaker on MySpace. I'd be like, hey, yeah. I had a great dream about you, .. And then you'd get the reply, and depending on the reply, that it was like throwing out, you know, fish in the water. Did you get a bite? Or were they like, oh, cool. And you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to share it. Or sometimes you flip the script, and you know they knew that you wanted to go down a sexual road, and they're like, oh, really? And I would just come up with a dream that was completely boring. Like, yeah, we were sitting on a couch watching TV. It made no sense. And then they're like, that's it?
Yeah. Oh,
and then we banged.
I've definitely done it to my... I have said to somebody who is my buddy's wife, like, hey, you were in my dream last night.
And I remember
like,
you telling me about that,
like,
yeah.
What? And I was just like, no. It was just all of us at a thing. It wasn't a big deal. But like, as the words came out of my mouth, you were in my dream last night. The look on her face like, what?
I mean, it was nothing weird. We were naked, slathering cocoa butter all over
each
other.
Right, this isn't about my buddy's wife having a dream where she was with Dream Ted. This is about me legit and just like, ah, that's so awkward. I shouldn't have opened with that.
But let's talk about escorts.
Oh, okay. So...
I like that you forgot. I wasn't forgetting. When Ted says he has an escort story, I want to listen.
So... trying to think of how to set this up. we were talking. Somehow,
do we need LL Cool J to help make this easier to digest?
No, but like the other day on the men's room, somehow we got into talking about escorts and hookers and this and that. Of course, since I've been to the Bunny Ranch, I'm like the expert.
Right.
But I just mentioned, I was like, I always have this, I have this theory that you know more people that have done crack than we'll ever admit to.
Really?
And you know a lot more people that have slept with escorts than we'll ever admit to.
I don't know if I know anyone that does, that has done crack.
You do, though. They just would never, ever tell you.
Oh, man. I'm wondering who of my crew of friends has done crack. I'm just playing. It's me. I still do it. Hold on. I got to turn the microphones off. Ted's making some... Oh, that's right. I'm
not
sure.
Saying people do it all the time. I'm just saying...
Experimented.
Know,
you're
you
right.
Know more people.
That guy probably did do crack.
Yeah. I didn't say it was a guy. Anyhow, so
well,
we were talking...
could be a dude.
We were talking about escorts or whatever, and I was like, yeah, like, sometimes you just don't know, because, like, there's escort services all over the place, but unless you're in that world, you would never know.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was saying, like, yeah, there's an escort. We all know.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, like, I've met her before. Like, I met her at an event we had, this and that. And I go, when I met her, it didn't dawn on me who she was until I started talking to her. And then I was like, oh, man. Like, I've seen some of your porn work. And this is a different person than you're thinking of.
No, I realized that rather quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, that's the funny part, is that we both have a friend that is a prostitute.
And I think the girl I'm talking
about. Or an escort.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the girl I'm talking about, you've probably seen her on Twitter, too. So, I mean, she's a big fan of the station.
Yes, I do know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So I was just saying, it's weird, like, I don't know.
I almost got almost as excited for her following me as I did when Pearl Jam followed me. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Trust me. When I met her in person, I was like, God damn.
I've never met her in person.
Yeah. Well, that's what caught me off guard.
And so how much did it cost you? I'm kidding.
Yeah. Wow. Well.
Did you think about it?
Yes. I mean, maybe.
Do you think in those situations, would you get like a radio discount?
I don't know. I didn't breach it.
No?
No.
You weren't going to be like, hey, what can I get for this?
I was just so caught
up. I'll talk about you on the Megacast.
She's a very nice body. And was wearing just like a small top and like booty. And I was
like Donald Trump right there. She's a very nice body.
She's a very nice body. A lot of people are talking about it.
Hot.
One of the best bodies I've seen.
Yeah. Quick aside, did you hear this fine moment from our president?
It's so easy to act presidential, but that's not going to get it done. In fact, I said, it's much easier, by the way, to act presidential than what we're doing here tonight, believe me. And I said, with the exception of the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office. That I can tell you.
He's a jackass. I'm sorry.
That's the funniest thing ever.
I don't care what side you're on. He's kind of making a mockery of being the president of the United States.
That line summed it up best.
Yeah. Anybody can do it. Anyway, I'm the best at being. It's like, what are you even saying? How does the president not have a speechwriter? How does nobody just pull him aside and go, read the speech?
Well, dude, nobody's pulling him aside and be like, why are you tweeting? Stop tweeting.
I mean, it's just surreal.
And if you can't fit it in 140 characters, maybe you shouldn't tweet it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off about your hooker talk.
No, I just... It's like you can't say anything about Trump without, like, the Make America Great Again people come attacking you and like, oh, I'm this liberal and this and that. It's like, sorry, I know a lot of good Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is a jackass, mm-hmm. and he's making the office look silly.
Oh, absolutely. That moment right there, I don't care. Like, if any president said that, you'd have to all collectively agree as a country. That was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
No, dumber than when he was like, oh, I don't want to go on this whole Trump thing, but... I didn't realize it was going to be this hard to be president.
Right. <I'm> like,
I could have told you that.
Like,
if I became the CEO of Entercom Radio, I know full well that's going to be a very difficult job. I wouldn't go, yeah, sure, how bad could it be? And then do it for a couple of months and be like, I didn't realize this was going to be a hard job. I'm running a company.
And when's the last time, I don't care who you are, any boss has said, I'm fine with you deciding to change stuff. You don't need a replacement. Like, that makes no sense. Like, look, I get it. And a lot of people, you know, not Trump people, but just Republicans in general do not like the Affordable Care Act. I understand that.
Right.
But it just seems lunacy. Like, we got to repeal it. Fellas, you had 7.5 years. Come up with a damn plan.
Right. No, like, there's no rush.
Right. And they're like, well, we just got to repeal it. And I'm like, what world does this make sense? If you don't have a plan, like.
It's almost like this this expectation on themselves to appease, like you said, the Make America Great version of a Republican person. You know what I mean? Like, you have to quickly make this over, make this end, so that way they can say, hey, he's accomplishing everything he said he would without even having a plan in place. You're right. You have for sure you have 3.5 years.
Yeah.
You don't need to, you can probably figure it out in a few months, some kind of an alternate plan that might not make everybody happy, but at least is something in place of it.
And the Russia stuff is just dumb. Stop. Why are we, like, you know, the whole world's looking at you, right? Go ahead and take another secret meeting without telling it. Like, just like, Jesus, dude. And that's not even me talking. Listen to Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican. He says it all the time. He's like, I don't know why he won't just shut up about Russia and just leave it alone.
Because he's,
like,
unapologetic in everything that he does.
I know.
You know what
but
I mean?
Just,
he doesn't give two flying F's what you and me think.
No.
And why? What the? How it will make him look. He is. I mean, he's been like that his entire life. This is even before him becoming president. He's never cared about what...
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? He's just going to do what he wants because he's rich as F, and who gives an F if two broke dudes on the radio are talking about him?
And here's the other thing. Here's the one that pisses me off the most. Why does Billy Bush not have a job?
Mm-hmm.
How is Billy Bush in exile and, like, can't get a job because he was on the bus when the president said, grab women in the pee? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so Billy Bush is like this. Everybody agrees. Oh, Billy Bush is he's the bad person. The other guy got elected president. I think it's okay that Billy Bush has a frickin' job.
Man, ever since he grew that afro and took a knee, he's never going to get another job in this business again.
Yeah, and the phrase, does the Bushy get a hug or no hugs for Bushy? That sounded bad. I'm just saying, like.
That is a great t-shirt.
Right,
hugs for Bushy is a great t-shirt.
In all this craziness, I'm just like, and I'm not even
I
like.
I forgot all about Billy Bush.
Right, it's like I'm a Billy Bush fan. I'm just like,
no, you are.
How did he take the brunt for it?
You have a Billy Bush tattoo.
And the other guy got to be president.
I know you're using this as your agenda to get Billy Bush a job.
Yeah, Billy Bush 2020. It's going to get Bushy.
No hugs for Bushy?
No hugs. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was for Bushy or the Bush. I mean, it was just something.
I don't care if it was or wasn't. That is a great slogan.
No hugs for Bushy?
That could be like Bush beer.
Bush.
No mouth hugs for Bush.
All right.
All right, it's gotten weird. Yeah, are we going to finish this conversation about hookers, or are we just going to have it be over?
I'm just saying they're out there. I don't know where I was going with that story, other than, hey, I met a really hot escort who's a fan of the station.
Because when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate and clear the air. But I see that red flag, and I think you wish I wasn't here.
All right, we should get 10. No, we're not getting 10 to this song. I don't want to do 10 push-ups to that. I'd like to just let my face hit the ground.
Yeah.
All right, so
protect
we're done.
Those teeth, Steve.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
Checking out. I will protect those chiclets tonight when I go to wrestling class.
Next week, we'll be in a new studio?
Next week, I will be in Atlanta.
Oh.
So, no MegaCast next week.
All right.
Unless we try to do it on Monday or something, but that just seems...
I'm funny. Not here Monday.
Well, then never mind. Ted clearly is too busy with his hookers.
My mom's in town, dude.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Jesus, Steve.
I didn't mean it that way.
Mm-hmm. That's what you think of me, huh?
Will this make you feel better?
All right, I gotta go.
All right, let's get 10.
Let's get our 10.
Ted, I'm sorry. That was poor timing on my part.
I'm so happy to have that. Oh, you're too busy with the hookers? Like, my mom's in town.
And I knew your mom was coming to town.
It's all right, people forget.
Yeah, if only LL Cool J was here to help me make this better.
He would be.
He would make it better.
LL makes everything better.
Well, apparently he does. Makes the Grammys better and racism in America. All right, let's get 10 Mega Family. Find us on Twitter at The MegaCast. And as always, thank you for listening. And rest in peace, Chester.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He'll be missed.
Absolutely.